Today's daf is daf Samach Dalid Amud Aleph, and we are going to start by the two dots, where it's a few lines down, where it says Imshel Shem Mezeh Sha'olav Allah. Sha'olav Allah. To get background to what we're going to do in today's daf, we have to just refer back briefly to the Mishnah on daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, where there the Mishnah talks about if after the Sa'ir. You have two Seirim, as we know. One goes L'Shem, and one goes to the Azazel. And the question is, what happens if after the you make the Hagrola, and the Hemis are designated to either go to the Azazel, to the Mace, or to the L'Shem, and to be brought as a Karban L'Mizbeach, what happens if one of them dies? So the Mishnah says the Mishihigril Mace, Yave Zug Acher, you have to bring an entirely new second couple of animals, the Yagril Malay and Betchila, and start the lottery again. And you say the Yom Imshel Shem Mace, if it was the one that was designated L'Shem Hashem that died, Zesh Olavagor L'Shem Yiskayim Tachta, then now this new Goro will replace that behemoth that was supposed to go off L'Shem. The Imshel Azazel Mace, however, is the Azazel that turns out that died. Zesha Allah Alav Hagaro L'Azazel Yizkayim Tachtav. Then whatever now it says L'Azazel, it's going to be replaced with this newly drawn animal, which is designated for the Azazel. So in other words, you have to redo the lottery and reassign the new behemoth, whichever behemoth died, it's going to be replaced by the second lottery. Now, of course, now that you have a second couple, so there is naturally a remaining animal that's going to be still alive. The Hasheni, the second animal, is Yira Achi Yistayev. You put it out to pasture, and it goes Achi Yistayev until it develops a mum v'yamachar, and then it gets sold. So, our Gemara now will deal with, when we say the Hasheni and the second animal, are we talking about the second animal that's from the original drawing, or is it the second animal that's from this newly drawn lottery for the replacement? Which, when we refer to the second of what? The first drawing or this new drawing? And that will be the background to understanding our Gemara today. So says the Gemara, Amarav. Amarav, Sheni Shibazug Rishon Yikarev, the second of the first, the original drawing, that second animal, whether it was the Azazel or whether it was the L'Shem, that second animal which stands by the side now, Yikarev, that should retain its original status and remain as a carbon. Sheni, as it was supposed to do originally. Sheni Shibazug Sheni, the second animal of the second drawing, which now is an animal that's superfluous, right? So the yira, that's the one that the Mishnah means should go out in the yira chitzdai that goes out to pasture, and it's not used as the carbon. So Rav is saying here that just because we've redrawn the lottery does not remove the original animal that did not die from its original status of remaining as its designated carbon as it should have been. It remains in its original status. It's the new animal that's now superfluous. That's the one that you have to set out the pasture. Rabbi Yochanan says, Sheni Shibazug Rishon Yira, the second animal of which is the second of the couple now in that drawing. So now in the original drawing, so now we set aside the second animal of the original drawing, and that Yira, that goes out to pasture. Even though that animal, nothing really happened to it, but once it was rendered not valid because we had to redo the lottery, so that one goes out to pasture. Sheni shibizug sheni yikare, and it's the second animal of the second drawing. That's the one that's now offered as a carbon. So that's the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav. Which animal actually goes out to pasture and is rendered non-suitable for the carbon, whereas Rav says that it's the second animal of the new drawing that goes out to pasture, and Rav Yochanan says no, it's the second animal of the first carbon. So now the Gemara examines this machlokes. But my miflagi. So what is the basis of the machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? So we now come to a very fundamental machlokes in that surfaces throughout many parts of Shas, especially and referring to areas of Kachin. And that is the question of Balei Chayim Nidachim or Eina Nidachim. So Rav Savas is the Gemara Balei Chayim Eina Nidachim. A Baal Chai, once you have a carbon that was designated a carbon, so it remains. Now it so happens it was rendered, even for a temporary time period, it was rendered not suitable for a carbon or temporary possible for the carbon. So Eina Nidachim, they do not get permanently removed from their status, from their position, and their status as being kosher for a carbon reverts back to its original status, and they remain kosher the carbon. So again, Rav Sava Balei Chayim ain't a nidachim. They're not literally nidachim to be pushed off, to be deferred. They're not deferred long term. They come back to their status. Rav Yochanan Savar Balei Chayim nidachim. No, Balei Chayim of a carbon, once they're rendered possible, so they remain in that status, and you can no longer use them. So the Gemara now wants to know, okay, where do they have their sources for in this machlokes? So the Gemara says, my time at the Rav, what's Rav's reasoning? The Yalaf Mechusas Man, because he learns out from the whole concept of Mechusas Man. Now Mechusas Man, which we referred to yesterday already, in yesterday's daf, Mechusas Man means if an animal has not attained the status of being at least 8 days old, then it's Lo Yeratza, it cannot be brought as a carbon. It has to be at least 8 days old in order for it, as was explained in yesterday's daf, to be taken out of the category of being a nafil. And we have to be sure that it has a good chance of being a viable animal. Until 8 days, we don't know. There's a good chance it may not survive. So the Torah only allows us to bring a animal for a carbon once it's reached a minimum of 8 days. So my time of the Rav, the elephant mechus is man. We learn it from an animal that was yet under 8 days of age, so we say mechusas man lav afagav da hashda loy chazi. It isn't it true that right now, let's say in the sixth day of its life, the fifth day of its life, right now it's not roy, it's not suitable for a carbon. It's not 8 days yet. Nonetheless, ki hadar michsi sharper dummy. Nonetheless, once it reaches 8 days, it becomes suitable for a carbon. So you see that there's this concept that an animal, even though it was out of the realm of being suitable for a carbon, nonetheless, when it comes back into a status of being suitable, we accept it. So you see that idea that an animal is not permanently removed from its status just because of some temporary status of not being suitable. Once that obstacle is removed, it goes back into being suitable for a carbon. So that's where Rav would see that Balei Chayim is Eino Nidachim. You don't push them off on a permanent basis, and you can reuse them. So the same thing is true here in our case. In our case, where the carbon Lazazel Lashem, whichever one it was, lost its status because one of its couple died. So now its partner was now temporarily removed from its status. But now that we make the new Hagrola and we start it over again, that original animal that remained alive, that could still be used for a carbon, and it does not get permanently removed from being eligible for a carbon. So the Gemara then asks a question, which is probably an obvious question. Me dummy, how are you going to make a comparison? Your whole raya is from the fact that if an animal is not legitimate as a carbon before 8 days, now becomes legitimate. Me dummy, hasam lo is chazi klal. In the case of a newborn animal, it's not roi to be a carbon altogether. It never got a chance to be roi. It's born into a status of not being roi until it reaches 8 days. But hacha nira v'nidcha. Here, this animal we're talking about by the Azazel and the Shame, originally they were fine and they were perfectly legitimate to be brought as Kabanas. Elawad was Nidcha. Then it became, due to circumstances, it became Dachu. It became not eligible. Maybe in such a situation, it remains permanently not eligible. You can't compare it to the case of Mechusar Zman, where it's not like something happened to this animal that forced the situation. It was born into the situation. That's why naturally, when it reaches the state of being 8 days, it's acceptable once again. And of course, if we were going to hold Bali and Nechaim Nidachim because of the 8 day situation, we would never have an animal that's kosher for Hakrava. So you can't bring a raya, says the Gemara, from the Mechusar Zman. So the Gemara retracts and comes with another possibility. Elahai Netama de Rav. This is the reason of Rav's, this is the base of Rav's reasoning. The Yalef mi Baal Mum Oiver. We learn from a Baal Mum Oiver, which means a temporary blemish. An animal develops a temporary blemish. So while it's got this blemish, it can not be offered as a carbon. But now that the blemish heals, it's valid once again as a carbon. The Yalef mi Baal Mum Oiver. And where we have this temporary blemish, even though it's not fit right now, while it's in its state of being wounded, it's not fit to be a carbon, but once it becomes roy again, it's healed, bring it back as a carbon. So you see again this principle that Bali Chayim are Ein Nidachim, you can use them once again once they retain their status. So that's the same reason should apply to our case of the animals that that one of them, its partner died, and now with the new hagrola it reverts back to its original status because we say Bali Chayim Ein Nidachim. All right, so now the Gemara says, okay, v'hasa minalan. So how do we know? What's the source for that itself? That the Baal Mum Oiver, that this temporary blemish is acceptable once the blemish heals. Minalan, where do we know this from? Diksiv ki mashchasam behem mum. So the pasuk reads as follows, a pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Beis. The pasuk reads, "Umiyad ben nechal o sakrivu es lechem elo kechem." Do not accept a carbon from strangers, from non-Jews. Mikolela ki mash chasem behem mum bum, because they are not careful about seeing that there's no type of mum, there's no type of blemish in the animal, and therefore lo yiratzu lachem, it should not be acceptable. So come back to the Gemara, has minolon diksiv, because the pasuk reads ki mash chasem behem mum bum and lo yiratzu. So we say mum bum hu the lo yiratzu. That's only provided that this mum, this blemish, is still within the animal. Ha'avar mumon, once the blemish is removed, it's no longer bum, it's no longer in the animal, it's no longer visible, or it's no longer present in the animal, then yiratzu, then it's acceptable once again for a carbon. So that's the mucker for knowing that an animal that has a blemish that then becomes healed, once it's healed, it can go back to being an accepted carbon, and that in turn will be the source to show us that Rav's position that Bala Chaim Ein Nidachim, and they can be used once again. Rabbi Yochanan, so where's he going to, what's he going to say about this? Miat Rachmana Bahem, the Torah says, the Torah uses the word Bahem. Mash Chasem Bahem. Miat Rachmana Bahem. Heim hu dechi avar mumen yiratzu. Since the Torah says Bahem, Mash Chasem, it's an extra emphatic use of Mash Chasem, that it could have just stood with those words itself, mash chasam, that they mash chasam mum, that they have this blemish of a mum. The fact that the Torah inserted an extra word, bohem heim hu dechi avar mamon yiratzu. It's only in this limited situation of a carbon that develops a temporary mum. That's what is not acceptable. However, ha kol dechuyin, the rest of the of carbonus that have become dachui for other reasons, like in our case, one of the animals died, but not due to a blemish. Hol v'nitku. So, in other words, Rav Yochanan is using that same pasuk of Rav that Rav uses as a source to teach us as a general principle that Bali Chaim ain't any dachim. Rav Yochanan turns around and says, that's actually my basis for saying no, that this pasuk is specific to that situation of mum oiver. In all other situations, indeed, the animal will be nidcha. So the Gemara now says, turns to Rav. The Rav, what is Rav going to say? So he says, Rav, what's he going to do with this word bahem? Hahu bahem be'einayu hu d'loy mirtzu. This is coming to teach us that when we talk about a blemish being a problem, that's only when you have the entire animal intact. And the animal is intact, and it's got a blemish, that is when it's not acceptable. Ha ayedei ta'aruvos, but supposing the animal becomes is now already dismembered, and the now parts of the animal become mixed up with other parts of karbanos, so we don't know exactly which limb is the one that's coming from the animal that had the blemish. So this limit is telling us from this extra behem that it has to be something that's behem with the animal its entirety. But once you have limbs that are mixed up of different carbonus and you can't identify any longer that this became from that blemished animal, then with the araisa it's not a problem, and that taruvos is acceptable. Even though in other cases of taruvos in Kalatarakula, we may say it's at least a suffix, the araisa, this pasuk tells us here that it's entirely acceptable such a situation. Kidetanan, as we have a Mishnah, evorim tamirim be'evorim balimumim. Supposing you have limbs of an animal that came that were tamimim, they were coming from animals that were unblemished. They get mixed up with Beivorim Bali Mumin. They get mixed up with Eivorim with limbs of an animal that have Balmum. So now they're all mixed up. Rabbi Leza says, Im Karev Haroi Shel Echad Mehem, if you were Makrev the Rosh, the head, which is of course one of the limbs, if you were Makrev the Rosh of just one of them, then Yakrivu Kol Haroshim Kulan. Then you can be Makrev the heads of all the rest of the animals. Because we go ahead and we say that we can assume, for our purposes, we can assume that one Rosh that you took out was the blemished Rosh. In other words, the Kohen was took out a head from this pile of heads, and he was makriv that particular head. So we now, after the fact, we say, you know what? You took the head of the blemished animal. That's already done on the mizbeach. But now what happens with the rest? The rest would all be okay. Now, if this was min hatara asur, then you have to say that this is still a suffix. How do we know? Where do we come to say that dafka, the one rush that was from the blemished animal, was taken min hatara? We have this right because of this halacha that ayidei teruvos, it's acceptable. And Rav is saying that comes from the extra word behem. Oh, and by the same token, karav shel echa mehem, if he one of the knees or legs of an animal became mixed up with other legs of an animal in karbanos, yakri v'kala karayim kulan. Now you can bring all the karayim of the rest of them. Again, because our taruvos, this allows us, we say in the case of taruvos, that we assume that the mixture is now entirely mutter. It's only not permissible when the whole animal is still intact. However, the Chachamim say, afilu, this is a continuation of the mission that we're quoting, the Chachamim afilu karvu kulan, even if they were offered, the kain already offered all of them, all of the limbs upon the mizbeach, chutz me echad mehen, except for one of them, which he just, there's only one remaining left, we still say, yeitze lebeis hasreifa, it has to go out to be burnt, because the Chachamim are machmir, and they say they don't hold of this particular limud, and they feel that no matter what, we're left always with that suffix minatara at the end, and even if all you have is one limb left, we assume that may be the limb that came from the blemished animal. But Rav is going to hold then, like Rabbi Elazar, that says, no, the taruvos is mutter, and he gets his limud from the word mashchasem behem. It's only the animals that are entirely intact that remain with that problem of a blemished animal. Now the Gemara turns to Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehudah, Nafgalei mi bam behem. Where is, and now the Gemara is turning to Rav Yochanan saying, where are you going to know this principle as well, that only they tell ruvos it's asur? It's only the taruvos is mutter. It's only when the animal is intact. That's when it's asur. Where are you going to know that halacha from? So he says, from the fact that it says mibam bohem, an extra. It's a double usage, because it could have just. It says bohem and the word bam, as you notice in the pasuk marshcha asam bohem mum bam. So that will teach us that limud that only if it's intact. Now, really, The Gemara could have given a simpler answer for Rabbi Yochanan and said, well, listen, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar, he holds like a Chachamim. That even if it, even a Dai Teruvus, it's Asr. But so the Siach Yitzchak says that they wanted to answer this, even tried to keep Rav Yochanan even with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. So that yes, he could have said he's like the Chachamim, but even Rabbi Elazar, he could still remain consistent with Rabbi Elazar's opinion, and this is how, because of the way he darshans the pasuk of Miban Bahem. So now the Gemara says, turns to Rav. Well, okay, so Rav Yochanan is right. You have the pasuk Miban and Bahem. That's what you learned this limud from. So what are you going to do with the extra Bum and Bahem then? So he says, Ve'idach, Rav say Bum Bahem Lai Darish. He's not impressed with that drasha. He doesn't feel that the fact that the Torah used bam and bahem, he doesn't feel that that's so redundant, and he doesn't feel it's worthy of making that drasha. And therefore, he goes back to his original drasha of just learning from the word bahem, and that will teach us that only if the animal is its entirety, that's where you have the problem of the mumayver. Either bam bahem lo darash, he doesn't use this as a drasha. Period. Now the Gemara. Okay, so now we've just then understood that there's a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan if Bali Chama nidachem or not. We also got down to the source of knowing where this is coming from, and Rav learned this out from the case of the blemished animal on a temporary basis that reverts back to its original status of being acceptable. So now the Gemara asks, on this Shita of Rav. So Gemara says, it's Rav, but yes, according to you, Rav, Nehe Nami de Bali Chaim Ein Nidachim. It's true that Bali Chaim, you say, are not Nidachim, and they go back to their original status, but all right. But it doesn't mean you have to be Makrav the first one. You buy high Nakrav. Why don't you allow an option? Use animal number one from the original lottery, or use animal number two. It's true that animal number one still retains its original Kedusha, but animal number two, since you drew the lottery, and that also could have a Kedusha, or designate this now for the animal. Why do you insist on using the animal from drawing number one? So you buy high knocker, you should be able to take your choice from either animal. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Rav Savala ki Rav Yaisi. Rav holds like Rav Yaisi, who said that what? The Amar Mitzvah Berisham, that the Mitzvah is the original one. In other words, once you have something that originally was pronounced with a Mitzvah, so use that, because that was sort of first come, first serve. It was originally pronounced with a Mitzvah, that came in line first. So as sort of view it as derech eretz to that carbon by virtue of the fact that it had priority in time, so use that first. So the Gemara wants to know, okay, where is this? He says like Rabbi Yossi. Where's the source for Rabbi Yossi? So Rav holds Rabbi Yossi. Where's the source? Hi, Rabbi Yossi. Which Rabbi Yossi are we talking about? E name of Rabbi Yossi, the kupos. Are you going to say it's the Rabbi Yossi that refers to the case of kupos? Kupos were these tzedakah boxes in the Beis Hamikdash that were filled and with coins and shekalim to be used for the various karbanas. So what do we know about those kupas? The Tanah, we have a Mishnah, shalosh kupas shalosh sain. We used to have three kupas, and each of the kupa had three and three sains worth. A sain is a measure. It was a substantial measure of the size of each tzedakah box, a pushka. And so you had three of them, and each one having shalosh signs, holding shalosh signs worth of, or sin's worth of shekalim. Shebehen terminus halishka, and the lishka money, the pushka money would go in towards the lishka in these boxes. Now, v'kasav alehen, and upon each one of these pushka boxes, it would say aleph, beis, gimel. It would be marked, this is pushka box 1, 2, 3, aleph, beis, gimel. V'tanya, and this comes along with Bryce. V'tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Lama Kasav Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel. What do you need to write the Aleph? Why do you have to mark them 1, 2, 3? Leida Ezemehen Nitruma Risham Lehevenu Risham. To know which trumas were donated first. So in other words, you filled up one box, you went to the next box, but the meaning that people donated to box number one first, Levi Amen Arishon, Shemitzvah Arishon. So apparently you're seeing from this Rabbi Yossi that you're supposed to give from whatever came along first in the line of order, that's what you use first. So by the same token, this animal was designated originally to be used either L'Shem or L'Azazel, so stick with that, even though really you could have used the option of animal two. So the Gemara says, Delma Shani Hasam, maybe that case of the Pushkas is different, the Be'idna de Ischazi, Kamaisa Lo Ischazi. Maybe in that case of the Pushkas, that at the time when the first Pushka was first being filled, there was no second Pushka yet to talk about. So we can't talk about the second one being Roy yet to give, and yet you're choosing the first one. It's not like you exercised an option. The second one wasn't chosen, wasn't filled yet. So that's why in such a case we'll use the first Pushka. But in our case, and when the two animals were standing together originally, animal number two was roi to be a carbon, and so maybe in such a case we won't say that you have to give priority to animal number one. It's not a direct correlation. El Rabbi, so again, so which Rabbi Yossi are we talking about to teach us this halacha priority? El Rabbi Yossi the Pesach. The Rabbi Yossi who says his din by carbon Pesach, the Tanya, Hamafish Pishoy, you set aside your carbon Pesach, V'ovet, now it gets lost, V'hifrish Acher Tachtav, and now you designate a second animal to be your carbon Pesach. Now what happens? V'chakach Nimtza Harishon, now the first one surfaces, you find it. V'harei Shneim Omdim, now you have two of them that are standing ready to be Makriv, Eizem Ehen Shiyitzi Yakriv. So the Chacham, Divrei Chacham, the Chachamim say, take your choice. Either one you can use as your carbon. Rabbi Yossi says, Mitzvah Berishon. No, you should use the first one, the original carbon, which got lost, but since that was your original carbon, so you have to give priority to that original carbon and use that. However, if the second one was a more choice animal, was a finer animal, a fatter animal, so if it's a more select animal, then Yevienu, then you can bring it. But what you see from here, unless the second animal was a better animal, you should use the first animal because that was your original choice. So you see here, this is where Rav learned his din then from this Rabbi Yosef, Karben Pesach, always use the first one that was available to you. So even though you technically can use option B, but try to stick to the original one, and that's why we stay with the original carbon of the original couple that the Hagrola was done for. Okay, now we're on Amud Beis. Amarava Deka Masnisen Kavase Derav. Our Mishnah seems to be consistent with Rav. Is a Raya, is a proof for Rav. And yet, Ubraisa Kavase de Rav Yochanan. We have a Braisa that is consistent with Rav Yochanan's opinion. Now, Masnisan Kavase de Rav. Now, the Mishnah we're talking about is our Mishnah that we started with, which was back on Daf Samach Beis, that Mishnah. So Masnisan Kavase de Rav, the Mishnah is consistent with Rav. Why Diktani Imshel Shem Mace, if the animal dies, the animal that was originally designated as L'Shem, L'Shem Hashem, so Zesh Olav Olav Agor L'Shem Yiskayim Tachtav. So now that you have the second couple, so it's not you doing the second drawing, so the one that comes out L'Shem now substitutes for the original L'Shem that died. The Edach, that's the Mishnah. The Diach, now the Gemara is saying a Diach. The Edach, so it seems to be Kidakai Kai, that the original one, which means, let's say in this case, the Azazel, which did not die, which was remaining alive, that seems to be the Edach Kidakai Kai, that remains in its original status. Now, this is implicit in the Mishnah. It doesn't say this in the Mishnah, but it's implicit in the Mishnah by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah says that Zesh Olav Agor L'Shem Yiskayim Tachtav, that since animal that was designated originally Shem, that substituted by this new Hagrala V'idach, that tells us that the one that still remains alive, the Azazel in this case, is Kidakai Kai, that remains its original status, and it's not removed. So therefore, and it will be offered as the Azazel. So now you see that our Mishnah seems to be consistent with Rav, that by Lechaim Einan Nidachim, you don't push it off, and since it has its original status, even though you're doing a new Hagrala, but but the original animal, in this case, the Azazel, retains its status. So that's the Mishnah seems to be with the consistent with the opinion of Rav, the Baal HaChaim Ein Nidachim. However, Braisa Kavasa de Rav Yochanan. The Braisa is consistent with the opinion of Yochanan. Why? Diktanu Yav Braisa Sheni Eini Odeya Im Sheni Shibazug Rishon. Now this Braisa is not exactly clear who it is, but it's a Braisa that the Gemara was aware of. And it says as follows, Sheni Eini Odeya Im Sheni Shibazug Rishon. I don't know if we're talking about when our Mishnah, the Braisa is a comment in our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that the Sheni goes off to Sheet Stayv. So this is Sheni Adim and Sheni Shibazug Rishon. Are we talking about the second of the original couple? Im Sheni Shibazug Sheni, or if it's the second animal of the second drawing? Kisha Omar Yamud Chai, when it says, when we are told that the animal has to be, that the one animal is Yamach, one animal gets the drawing of L'shem and it's killed, the other animal is brought off the Azazel, so it's Yamad Chai V'lo Shechaver Omeis, and you can't have a situation where its partner died. So the Braisa seems to be saying that once an animal, or once a couple, a partner of a couple, of a drawing, once the partner dies, so then the other carbon, the Azazel in this case, is possible, because the carbon had to be Yamod Chai. It had to be coming from a living couple. V'lo shechaveiro meis, not in a situation where its partner died. So now you see that, so therefore the Azazel, the original Azazel, is also rendered no longer usable for the carbon. And we see from that Braisa then that Balei Chaim are nidachin, that Balei Chaim are pushed off. And you can no longer use that original Azazel. So the Gemara says, my mashma, where does he see that exactly in the Pasuk? It says Yamod Chai, but where do you see that exactly in the Pasuk? Yamod Chai, that it should stand, Yamod is a Lashon Asid towards the future, Yamod Chai should be standard, V'lo Shekvar Amad, and not that it was standing at some point with a living partner next to it. Yamod Chai, it should stand with its living partner, but Lo Shekvar Amad, not a situation where it was standing at some point with a living partner. So that's where the Braisa then seems to be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav has his Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan would have his Braisa. Okay, now the Gemara picks up on the final statement in our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Oidam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said another halacha. Nishbach Adam, Yamus HaMishtaleach. Supposing the Dam, the carbon that was designated L'shem, the dam gets spilt. So now, the dam gets spilt, the whole carbon is possible. So yomus hamishtalech, so now we have to, you have to kill the mishtalech, it cannot be used. Meis hamishtalech, however, if you, the mishtalech, so mishtalech, it dies, yishpoch hadam. Then you have to spill out the dam of the carbonless lashem. In other words, one partner goes, the other partner goes with it. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, we can understand Rabbi Yochanan, the Amma Balechayim Nidachim. Rabbi Yochanan says, once Balechayim are pushed off, it remains that way permanently. So, Mishum Hachi Yamis HaMishtaleach. So now we understand why the Mishtaleach has to die, because once the carbon that was L'shem, its blood was spilled, it's no longer kosher, so the Mishtaleach can't be used either. It's permanently removed from its status of being acceptable as a carbon. That's because Balei Chaim Nidachim. So Ela L'Rav, the Amar Balei Chaim Ein Nidachim, the Rav who says the Balei Chaim are not Nidachim, Amar Yomis HaMishtaleach. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the Mishtaleach should die? Just because the L'shem animal was affected, why should we say you have to permanently dispose of the Mishtaleach? You should be able to use it again give it another shot with a second hagrola. So Amalecha Rav. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to fly in the face of Rav's opinion. Amalecha Rav. So Rav tells you, Alib Rabbi Yehuda, like Amina. You're right. I don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Very simple. I feel that the Rabbanan of the Mishnah, which preceded Rav Yehuda, even though it's not explicit in the Mishnah, but by virtue of the fact that Rav Yehuda makes this statement, Va'odam Rav Yehuda has something else to say. It seems to be Rav Yehuda was saying that in contradiction to the Rabbanan, meaning the Rabbanan disagree with him. So Rav says very simply, my opinion is with the Rabbanan. Ki kamina with the Rabbanan. So that's his answer. So don't ask me a question from Rav Yehuda. I am consistent with the Rabbanan. So the Gemara now turns the other way around. Bishlam al Rav. Okay, now you've made this machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rav Yehuda, whether or not Balei Chayim are Nidachim. So Bishlam al Rav. So now we understand, according to Rav, Ha-Pligi, Rav Yehuda, Rabbanan. There is your machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan. The Rabbanan will hold Balei Chayim is Eina Nidachim, and the Rabbanan will hold, and Rav Yehuda will hold Balei Chayim is Nidachim. El Rav Yochanan Amai Pligi. So what are you going to do with Rav Yochanan? Is Rav Yochanan going to go ahead and assume also that there is a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rav Yehuda? So he says, no, I don't say that. Amar Rava, Rava says, I'm not concerned about it. Rav is not concerned about the opinion of the Rabbanan here. Amar Rava, Amrinan, Daika Masnisan, Kavasi the Rav. I told you originally, Rava said, that our Mishnah is entirely like Rav. Our Mishnah is like Rav, and it's not like it's a riot to Rav. So our Mishnah is of the opinion that Balei Chayim is Eino Nidachim, as we stated earlier. So therefore, I don't need to make a machlokes between the Rabban and Rav Yehuda here, because I tell you that our Mishnah is entirely in the pocket of Rav with this opinion that Balei Chayim is Eino Nidachim. Before we conclude, need to mention that today is Tu B'Av. This shiur is being recorded on Tu B'Av, and on Tu B'Av, the Mishnah in Tainus in Daf Chavav tells us LaHayyam Yom Tovim Ki Yom Kimatzay Yom Kippurim Ki Yom Kippurim, and Ki Tu B'Av in this 15th of Av, and it was Shebehem B'Nois Yisrael Yotzes. It was a great day. Shidduchim were made, there was dancing, was celebrated with a great fanfare. That's on Yom Kippur and on Tu B'Av. So the Gemara then tries to examine what was so special about those days. So the Gemara understands that Bishlam Yom Kippur, we know that Yom Kippur, Slicha Kapara, it's a day of Slicha that takes place. It's something to celebrate. What was so great that took place on the 15th of Av? And so the Gemara has a number of different answers. Amongst them, what, that the Shvatim were allowed to marry each other. There was the day that the dead of the Beitar were buried. A number of different answers. The Gemara, amongst the last answers that the Gemara says is on Daf Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara says, Rav Rav Yosef Damri Tavayu, Yom Shepasku Melichros Eitzim. Rav Rav Yosef say, this is the day that they stopped cutting the wood, Lema'arocha. They used to cut the wood, they used to go out and cut the wood in the forest to offer upon the Mizbeach, on the Maracha for the Mizbeach, for firewood for the Mizbeach. And now, Tes Vav Av, every year, the 15th of Av, was the day they stopped doing that. Why? Because now the sun began to set a bit earlier. The peak of the summer is now coming to an end. The solstice is changing. Now, it's not as hot as it used to be. Therefore, the wood might tend to get a bit wormier because the rainy season was beginning to approach. And it was very difficult to deworm the wood from the Mizbeach, and therefore they stopped going out and chopping wood. It was in the dry season, it was easier to get worm there was wood that was dewormed, because that's the only type of wood that you can bring. So what was the great simcha of the fact that they stopped Yom Tavar Magal, as it was called, the day that they broke the sickle, they no longer used to have to cut what the sickle and the axe, to have to cut these trees down. So Rashi says, Mikan ve'elach, from this date on, of the 15th of Mechamisha Asaba ve'elach, the Mosef Leilos Hayom, and now the nights are becoming longer than the days. Lasoik bedivrei Torah, now we have more time to spend in Torah learning. Yosef Chaim al Chayev, now you're able to add more life to your life, because the nights are longer, and they used to spend the nights more so than the days in learning. So it represented an opportunity to learn longer. And this is what we're able to do, Baruch Hashem, with the Daf Yomi. I want to just finish with this very beautiful Vart from the... And by the way, you see, even they were involved in this all-important project of bringing wood to the Mizbeach, but still it was not... it did not reign supreme over the idea of learning. We conclude with a very beautiful Vart from the Abda Rav. It's a popular Vart. The Abda Rav says, what does it mean, Tu Ba'av, the 15th of Av? The 15th of the Aleph Beis, the 15th letter of the Aleph Beis candidate, and you come to the letter Samach. Samach is a round, complete, perfect circle. He says, when Jews, when you didn't get together, and they're holding hands in a circle, in a machol, and that's when Jews feel equal. No one's on a higher level than the other. We all feel a sense of equality. That's a great day of Simcha. We are hopeful that that day there'll be a great circle. All the tzaddikim, all the Jews will get together, celebrate as equals, and hopefully that time will come. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen.